Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow. All right, welcome everyone to episode number 46 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I really want to thank everybody for listening, tuning in. Mike and I have got kind of your usual lineup today. A really cool interview later on in the podcast, or different section of the podcast if you want, with Dave and Annie Hypanen. Talk a little bit with those guys, both about their running career, but also kind of what it's been like as they've recently, you know, had their young son, and it's now two, kind of what it's been like to balance their running and having you know, their kid. And so that'll be really interesting. So tune in for that. In the meantime, Mike and I'll head down on the rundown section of the podcast now. And Mike, How have you been?
Really good. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'm okay with it warming up a little bit, I think. So the cold is getting to me maybe a little bit.
But yeah, that was a tough section today. Felt the last couple of days, and today especially, felt really nice. And I was almost overdressed for the run today. We're recording this, by the way, on Sunday, the 30th of January. So
yeah. Getting closer. So yeah, let's get to it. We have some race results here from a couple parts of the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, which, if you are not familiar, is an excellent opportunity to get out for some races all throughout the winter. So we had back on January 8th the Northwoods Winter Marathon and Half Marathon, which are the Winter Trail Running Championship, I believe. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, but
Something like that they label it as, yeah.
Either way, we have times that look to be quite a bit slower than I would say normal, even though this race has only gone on, I think the fourth year. Yeah, this is maybe the fourth year since it was resuscitated, I guess, by Kim and Andy Holak. So either way, we'll just kind of go through the winners. Since there were four races, the snowshoe marathon, regular foot marathon, and snowshoe and regular half marathon. So starting at the half marathon, we had the winning time, hour 51 and 36 minutes by a Duluthian, Andrew Holatz. On the ladies' side, Tammy Davis, who is a former Duluth Rundown interview subject, with a first place finish time of 2:24:58. Just to give you an idea of the course record, under 2 hours for women and hour 36 for guys. So, I mean, that's about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes slower than normal.
Yeah, what you're saying, Mike, that you heard is pretty soft.
I heard it was pretty soft,
kind of soft,
yeah.
Conditions, and that'll definitely slow things down. I will say one thing on Tammy's races. I'm looking at the results now as well. She was six overall.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
Definitely impressive. Nice work, Tammy. The snowshoe half marathon, there were zero finishers. For the marathon, we had 10 total finishers. David Hansen from Rochester won just under 5 hours, 4:55:55. And on the ladies' side, Erica Leicht from Duluth with a 5:52:06. And the snowshoe marathon, one finisher, Lucas Gingery from Duluth, with a 5:30:33. So,
and I guess you could say he actually also won the half marathon, because he did a half marathon. No one entered the half marathon, so he technically won the half and the full.
Not a lot of snowshoers out there, which
surprising on the half. I've done the half and love it for the snowshoe half, but
yeah,
you know, for me personally, having done a lot of snowshoe running, we got last year especially, we got a lot of snow early. So I was able to get on the snowshoes and kind of train in them a little bit earlier. This year, it didn't quite come as early. And I was kind of contemplating doing the snowshoe half, but I knew I wasn't in half marathon shape for to run the snowshoes. So that's why I didn't do it, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe other people were kind of that similar with this late snow.
Yeah, who knows? And I think the snow would have been, or the snowshoes might have been, I mean, maybe almost faster. It sounds like it was pretty soft. And I believe it was due to a recent snow, you know. I feel like all January it's been like it's kind of, you know, 3 to 6 inch snowfalls, and I mean that's enough even with a solid base to make it pretty slow going. You know?
Absolutely. So, yep. Very true.
We also had another race from the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series called the Wild Winter Wipeout 5K. That's out at Spirit Mountain. That was on January 22nd. Patrick Moore from Duluth won with a 26:05. And on the ladies' side, Tammy Brond. With a 31:24, and that was fifth place overall. So total 18 finishers, kind of a smaller race, but everyone out there are still two more races as part of the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. On February 8th, Saturday, is the Hartley Park 10K, which should be excellent conditions for that race. And then on February, I had the wrong dates for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, February 5th.
February 5th is the, I was looking at the 2020 dates. February 5th, 2020 is the Hartley Park 10K. And then Saturday, February 19th is the Frozen 4-Hour and 5K, which is out in Leicester Park. And that's a kind of zany event. Where you run loops for 4 hours. So, definitely check those out if you're looking for a couple last season races. And, I mean, barring any big snowfall or big warm-up, trails have been in really good shape. So, should be good running. The last race that we have to talk about upcoming is the Arrowhead 135, the infamous winter ultra. Just a little bit north of Duluth, and that starts tomorrow, which is January 31st.
Yep. So I forget what time. 6 a.m. start, I think, is when they maybe start. It's dark, I know that. And, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. There's a lot of new names in this one. So it'll be fun to follow along.
Yep. There's always really good tracking with that race, so it's always kind of fun to pop in, just see where the race leaders are at and how it's shaken out. So you can just, I don't know, search Arrowhead 135.
Their website, I think, is arrowheadultra.com. Arrowhead Ultra. Then I think they have tracking information off of that website.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So kind of moving on to trail conditions as we're talking about these upcoming races. As of today, I mean, trails are in really good shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think any trail that you want to go on, whether it be single track, you know, Superior Hiking Trail, it's been, I think, enough time where it's between snowfalls where I think most, especially in the city, they've probably been tracked down by this point. And the groomed trails, Cogs, fat bike trails, they got to be great.
Yeah, they're perfect. We were mentioning on the podcast last time, that sometimes some of the non-groomed single track trails that are kind of more user defined or that the snow dogs don't groom, they can get a little bumpy sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Even now, those are good.
I mean, yeah.
And then the ones that are groomed are like perfect.
Right.
I ran today mostly on that kind of stuff. And it was just as good as it gets.
Prime winter running conditions right now.
I mean, I was saying to myself, I don't encourage this, but you could ride a cross bike on those trails right now. They're wow. So firm and
it's been so cold.
They're so smooth.
Fun. Next we have Coach's Corner, and this was actually a kind of a call-in request, right?
Kind of, yeah. Facebook post, yeah. And we were tagged in it by Dave Schaefer made a post.
Yep.
About breathing in cold air, basically. He was noticing his breathing, I think, increased a little bit, but his heart rate was staying low or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I know Jason Kask commented on it. It was probably bronchoconstriction is what it's called, or exercise induced bronchoconstriction. And I think that, yeah, I think that's exactly what Dave is experiencing.
Right.
Can definitely happen with the dry air. It's cold / dry air, but typically it's more dry air, and which comes with colder air.
What is bronchoconstriction? Bronchio. I can't even say it.
Yeah, bronchoconstriction. So yeah, basically kind of your airways, and you know, as they kind of dilute downward in your lungs, they'll those pathways sort of shrink down a little bit, and so you have to breathe a little bit quicker to get enough oxygen into your lungs. So.
I think any runner can relate, especially when they're trying to run a little bit faster, the kind of the uncomfortable feeling of getting the big breath of cold air, you know, and
that scratchy, slightly painful,
right?
Especially early in the winter when you're
not
used to it. I think it's a little worse.
It kind of makes you cough, you know, if you take too big of a breath, and it's like the reaction.
Or if you do a race in the winter and then you're coughing later that day, or even into the next day a little bit too.
So that's all kind of the same issue.
It's all the same issue, and it can be, you know, alleviated a little bit by wearing a buff.
Yeah,
or some sort of face protection that can kind of, I guess it would add a little moisture to the air, or at least somewhat maybe warm the air so the throat doesn't get as irritated.
Right.
But either way, that can help for sure. And I think we've all experienced that at times where you're wearing a buff and you just can tell that you're breathing somewhat better.
Yeah.
I know that for instance, international ski races, they have a cutoff temperature. They won't even race. Even the pros won't race at a certain temperature. I think it's 20 below Celsius or 20 degrees Celsius, and it's like 5 below Fahrenheit, something like that, 4 below Fahrenheit, somewhere in there. So,
is it a danger to athletes?
Yeah, it can be. Which is why that the skiers won't have the ski competitions in that situation.
Right.
It can be either a short term or a long term. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. Yeah.
So you think local Duluth area runners maybe should be picking temperatures, you know, kind of be more selective when they actually go out and run? Or what's the best way to, I guess, avoid?
I think it's something to be aware of personally. I think everybody handles it a little bit different in my experience. Some people describe things that I've just never experienced at all, and so obviously it's affecting them a little bit more.
Right.
So I think you have to kind of play it by ear a little bit and how you handle the cold weather.
Yeah.
But you know, with that information that you have, I think it's wise to use a little bit of caution at times. And whether maybe you don't have to change your plans and not go for a run that day, but maybe you shorten the run, or you make sure the buff stays on the whole time.
Right.
There's a mask that you can buy that kind of adds a little humidity to the air that you breathe in. It's kind of extends out from your face a little bit. I forget the name of it, but
It's like breathe something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the idea is that if you can essentially make a microclimate around your face where it's not negative 20 degree air temp, it's like 0 or 10 or whatever,
right,
then you're not directly breathing the cold, dry air directly.
Right.
Because ultimately it has to cool down before it hits your lungs anyways, or else your lungs would like freeze, right? And that's, I think, a common misconception.
Yeah.
Of running
the air warms up essentially once it gets in your body, because your body temperature is warmer, obviously.
Yeah.
So the air itself, the temperature actually isn't the factor. It's the dryness that's the factor. So it's just that it happens to be the colder air tends to be drier.
Right.
Yeah, because there's less humidity in the air, so temperatures fluctuate more in dry air than they do in humid air, which is why deserts fluctuate from sub-freezing temperatures, you know, sub 32 degrees Fahrenheit up to 100 degrees within, you know, 24 hours, because it's dry air.
Right.
But in more tropical situations where there's more water and therefore more humidity in the air, those temperatures tend to stay in a much smaller range. So
I think the buff helps a lot for me personally. Also, for me personally, if it's really cold, like, I'm not going to be sucking wind, you know, literally, like, I'm not going to be doing a workout, you know, a sprint workout or something.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe, because it is kind of comfortable to really be breathing heavily in that cold, dry air. You can feel it, you know?
Absolutely.
So just, you know, good time to jog, go easy.
It's one reason why the winter is a nice time to for your base period, because you want to be slowing down anyway.
Right.
I remember I was in San Francisco a couple of years ago, and I was talking to this guy at a running store there, and we were talking about just weather conditions, and here in Duluth, where we have kind of our racing season, then we have our off season because of the way the weather works out. And he said, in California, where they are, they call it, the local people there, they call it the California curse, because it's always nice.
Yeah.
And so they don't really ever have a downtime.
Right.
Because, you know, in San Francisco, in the Mill Valley area, the trails are incredible.
Yeah.
There, and, you know, you've got some good road and kind of urban running situations, and you don't really get that forced break, I guess, as it were, or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, so for me, like this time of the year with winter, it's just take advantage of the fact that you can't work too hard.
Right.
And just slow down and get your base in and worry about getting fast later on.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah, there you have it. I got a route of the week.
Yes, let's hear it.
One of my favorite spots to run is called Buzz Ryan Road. It's off of County Road 4, past Island Lake. It's kind of way out of town. Now, it's not a long run, maybe 2 miles from the road in, but it's a really cool area. At the end, there's a campsite, a little kind of campground area, just primitive, a little loop around the campsite. And, it's just kind of a neat area to get a different angle of Boulder Lake, which I love the area. And I went snowshoe running in that area just yesterday. It was so fun. So that's my route of the week. If you're looking for a short run and maybe some exploration in the meantime, definitely check out Buzz Ryan Road, kind of way out of town.
Yeah, I've personally never been out there a whole lot other than just driving by or just going straight to Boulder recreational area. But I've always wanted to go out there, especially for some gravel road rides. I know you've done gravel road rides out there as well. Definitely some cool places out that direction.
And that kind of leads into what I'm into lately, which is snowshoe running. I mean, just prime conditions and kind of like a semi, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a non-established road, I guess. You know, like a pretty primitive gravel road.
Like low-maintenance roads.
Low-maintenance, that's what that's what I was looking for. Like a low-maintenance road, I think, is like almost perfect for snowshoe running, because sometimes you have people driving, sometimes you have snowmobiles, but you know, like deep powder isn't great for snowshoe running.
Right.
But to have that little extra grip and, the roads out there were just so fun yesterday getting out for a snowshoe run. And I hadn't gone out at all year, so it was nice. And I think just a great time of year. Conditions so good for some snowshoe running.
Yeah, definitely. That reminds me of this is about, 6-7 years ago. We were snowshoe running. It was me and Dave Schoenem and Dave Hypenen. And we were out running on the Superior Hiking Trail off of Fox Farm. But we were the only people that had been out there. And it was fresh snow. So we were plowing through snow. And we had to take turns leading because nobody could lead for much longer than about maybe a half a mile.
Right.
And then you'd have to just like somebody else and flip-flop because it was so deep. But it was we did an outback, so we turned around. Came back, it was much easier, but trying to plow through that fresh, deep powder for the first time, break trail like that, so hard, but a lot of fun,
sure,
and it makes it harder even when you're on snowshoes, because you have the weight and the snow that kind of collects on the snowshoe, and you have to pick your foot up out of that, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah. So it's like you don't, like, get the lactate soreness, really. You don't really get like really breathing heavy, but it just saps you, snowshoe running.
I'm a huge believer in snowshoe running. I know some people think you shouldn't do too much. I've heard people say this, that you shouldn't do too much of it because it throws off your form. I don't know. I don't think so. I've never heard of that. I've been snowshoe running since like the late 90s. I've never once heard that, but maybe your form's a little different. I think it's just such a great strength workout. I think you just build such strength in the hips, especially. Like, it's a lot of fun. Is it necessary when it's on like a groomed trail? Well, no, it really kind of isn't, but it's still kind of fun,
Fun.
Yeah, it's a fun challenge, and it's just something a little different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, what have you been thinking about on the run? You have any recent thoughts on the run there?
Yeah, I have a thought on the run that kind of came. Well, it's something I've thought about a lot. I'm always fascinated by it, and Mike, when you and I worked at the running store, we would see this a lot. And anybody who works in a running store will be familiar with what I'm going to talk about here. But in fact, anybody who doesn't is actually going to be familiar with it too. But I'm fascinated by brand loyalty and how some people are just, they will only wear a certain brand of running shoe.
Yeah.
I find that crazy, but that's not to say that I'm sort of immune to brand loyalty myself in certain situations. Not necessarily running shoes per se.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, there's, people are brand loyal to cars. You know, I'm a Ford guy. I won't ever drive a Chevy or whatever.
Big time.
You know? Yeah. And running shoes are no different than a lot of other things. And I certainly have, again, I have my brand loyalty to certain things too. But it's a fascinating thing, brand loyalty, because it doesn't really make any logical sense at all, especially with the running shoe thing.
Like, right.
No logical. It's all emotion.
It, totally.
You know, and the brands are doing their job if they've got you to like, I only wear Saucony or I only wear New Balance. You
know?
Like, the brand doesn't know who you are.
Yeah.
And there's not, and that's a big myth too, I think, with, there's not a big difference between most of the shoes.
Right.
You know, there's no secrets out
Technology-wise. Materials-wise.
Yeah. You know, the shoe companies themselves don't make the foams and stuff.
Yeah.
They have manufacturers that make those foams, and then they buy the foam from the companies.
Cut it to size, yeah.
So as an example, here's a good example. Adidas Boost Foam and Brooks DNA Amp Foam. They don't make those foams. There's a company in Germany called BASF. They make those foams. Hmm. And then Adidas and Brooks buys that stuff from BASF.
Right.
And then they just label it their own Boost stamp it with their own logos and their own made-up proprietary name. But it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
And within the shoe industry, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but it's, people bounce around from one company to another all the time, like shoe designers heads of shoe departments.
Oh, sure.
Right. All the time. I went to a Mizuno, like a Mizuno kind of clinic thing years ago down in Atlanta. And the head of the Mizuno running shoe department at the time was a guy named Fritz Taylor. And before Mizuno, he worked at Nike. And before that, he was with Brooks, or maybe it was vice versa. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But Brooks, Nike, Mizuno. And then after Mizuno, he went to Under Armour and became the, you know, and that happens all the time. Like, they're just, you'd be surprised at how actually similar all the shoe companies are.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think when you try them on too, you know, side by side by side, you realize kind of how similar they are.
Yeah.
Or if you think you're going to like
the
same shoe that you had before the best, and then you try on five other ones, I mean, maybe not literally, but with a blindfold, essentially, you know, I think so many people are shocked.
At,
I didn't think I'd like that one the best. You know, I think I'd like the one that I kept buying for years and years, you know, or last time, right? I think that's why brand loyalty is fascinating, because I think people just think, like, if it worked for me before, why would I change? You know?
Right.
So once they finally find something
which
that
works.
Which
is an understandable thought, actually.
Yeah.
It's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet.
And, you know, sometimes you buy something new and you don't like it, and then you're out $120, $140 or whatever, and the time. So you got to go back and, you know. So I get that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
It is interesting.
But it fascinates me how well it works on us crazy humans.
I'm brand loyal for sure. Like Brooks Cascadia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like my go-to trail shoe. And I know if I look for a trail and I'll like try to be not brand loyal, and be like, oh, I'll just find something that I like, you know, and just look around. And especially if, you know, I have a race coming up, a big trail race or something. Like, I'll have the backup Brooks pair, because I know I like it so much and I know it's good. And they got me.
Well, you're willing to try other ones, though, and that's
right.
That's some people just aren't. They're just like
not willing.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I don't know if you remember or if we did this with you, but like at the store when we would try on shoes without looking at them, we'd close our eyes and try two different shoes on. You had to guess what they were.
You could tell,
Yeah. Nobody ever guessed it.
Pretty hard,
Yeah, and they were always shocked. People, this is that shoe? I had no idea.
You just tried them on 20 minutes ago. That's the only way you can.
I would challenge a shoe customer if you're willing to do this, to try on shoes with and not look at them.
Yeah.
Don't let the salesperson tell you what it is.
Right.
Don't even look at it. Just go totally 100% on feel.
Right.
And see what you think.
Well, it was more challenging as a running shoe salesman. the brand loyal people who won't try anything, that's challenging. But a color loyal person,
yeah, colors,
I only wear pink shoes,
right?
You know, that's even more challenging.
Right, so. that was definitely a thing. And I get, like, if I happen to buy shoes online, I'll choose this color because I like that color better.
Yeah,
but if
right.
I'm going into a store, which I try to get my shoes at a store,
yeah,
like I don't care. Like, I don't care, you know,
right.
whatever.
I think the lesson to be learned, I guess, is that everyone, if they're getting new shoes, should try on a couple of different pairs. And even if you think you have the one that you like best, you know, it's so worth it to just try a few, on.
And if once you've been running a while too, like let's just say New Balance. And if you've had, I don't know, 20 different pairs of New Balance over the last 20 years or whatever, some of them you liked and some you didn't, probably. You know,
right.
Same thing with Saucony or whatever,
yeah.
whatever the brand is. Some of them worked for you. Some of them didn't work very well.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with the brand or the logo that's painted on the side of the shoe or anything like that.
You change every year anyways.
Every shoe is a little bit different. So, yeah.
It
I'm fascinated by brand loyalty and how well it works on us.
It works. Hey, it works for me, but
yeah.
No. What else we got here? Shout out. Any shout outs?
I have two shout outs for people that we don't even know.
Yeah.
Neither one of us know these people. Number one is, you heard about this story. I think probably a lot of listeners heard about, but that the marathon in Siberia, I think, is where it was. 63 below zero or something like that for the temperature. Yeah, 63 below Fahrenheit for the temperature, and the winning time was 3:22. So shout out to that guy who won and to anybody who participated in that race at 63
wild.
Below Fahrenheit zero.
Jeez.
That is cold. That is crazy. And shout out to the race directors and volunteers who put the race on, for
Jeez.
That matter.
Yeah, hopefully they had a warm building nearby.
I wonder how their bronchoconstriction was.
Yeah, how about that? Well, if they can run and do a 3:20, then
right, exactly.
We don't have that much to worry about. But yeah, they're probably breathing like a million miles a minute, you know?
Right. I did see a picture of the guy who finished, and he looked like pretty much just like any of us here in the winter. Honestly,
sure.
It didn't look like some polar expedition or anything
Full
like that.
Full face mask.
Yeah. You can just barely see the eye sockets or anything like that. He was kind of pretty much just wearing what you would normally wear here. So, and my other shout out is to Nick Willis, who, again, neither one of us know, but for any of you who don't know, Nick Willis has been a miler from New Zealand, but he's based in the U.S. For a long time. And anyway, yesterday on Saturday, the 29th, he ran a sub-4-minute mile for the 20th straight year. Nobody's ever done that before for 20 straight years.
That's unfathomable.
20 straight years. Yeah.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
That's
I hope he goes for 21. But 20 is a nice number to stop on if he wants, and nobody would.
So how old is he?
I don't even know his age. He's mid-30s.
Mid
to late 30s. He might be 37-ish.
So he's like a high school runner. He
went
under
four. Yep.
I mean,
or
that
maybe
itself,
freshman year in college, maybe something like that.
Right.
I don't know if he ran sub 4 in high school or not.
I mean, that in itself is really pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a 2-time Olympic medalist.
Hmm.
I think only 8 men have ever won 2 Olympic medals in the 1500 meter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, one of the all time greats.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Absolutely. Well, what else we got? Or should we get going on our interview here?
I think that's about it for the rundown section. Yeah, let's get to the interview.